increases and make this knowledge use of it and take advantage of it. Without a due delay, I'd like to welcome our Sheikh Muhammad Jibari to the microphone. فليتفضل مشكورا.
بسم الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، the subject of the increase and decrease of iman is one of, if it is not the most important subject for a believer, then it is one of the most important subjects or most of the important concerns. We deal with it on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. We discuss it with ourselves and fight ourselves in its regard all the time. And therefore, each one of us must have reached certain conclusions or ideas in regard or understandings in regard to this subject. So what we will try today, inshallah, is to organize such ideas so that when we need to deal with this subject, and as I said, it is a regular, ongoing dealing, then it would be easier for us to remember and, you know, follow a certain procedure in that regard. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us about our hearts that they are not steady in one place. They do not maintain a one level of iman all the time. But they change. Sometimes the iman is stronger, sometimes it's weaker. And when they change like that, of course we want the trend to be such that on the overall we do not fall down. We do not go downhill. In other words, now I start working on the board, maybe that's easier, inshallah, to understand some of what I'm saying, not for the people who listen to the tape, but at least for the people who are present. Now, you know, the iman will go up and down, like this. But it's going up and down like the medical heart graphs that they make. So, when this happens, we want the overall state of our iman to stay steady at a fixed level, if not improving. Either improve or remain steady, but not decrease. We do not want this to happen to us. Fall down the hill. That's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَ الْقَلْبُ مِنْ تَقَلُّبِهِ, which means the heart was so called, قلب in Arabic, derives from the same root as قلبة, which means turn over. So he's telling us it was called قلب because of how it keeps turning about. إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْقَلْبِ كَمَثَلِ رِيشَةٍ مُعَلَّقَةٍ فِي أَصْلِ شَجَرًا. The example of the heart is like a feather that is attached or tied to the stem of a tree. تُقَلِّبُ الْرِيحُ ظَهْرًا لِبَطْنٍ, and the wind flips it over from one side to the other. Or in another hadith, he said, it is like a feather in a desert land, and the wind comes and flips it from one side to the other. So that's how our hearts are. They flip all the time, and we need to know what are the reasons that make the hearts, our hearts flip up so that our iman increases, and what are the things that make it flip down so that the iman decreases. What brings us up to here, and what takes us down to that valley? What are those things? What are the reasons or the causes for the increase of our iman and for the decrease of our iman? There is a book, I don't know, it's probably already available here, it has recently been published, about this subject for those who want to read some scholastic or rigorous treatment of this subject by Sheikh Abdul Razzaq al-Abbad in English. In Arabic it has been around for a while, but in English it's called Courses Behind Increase and Decrease of Iman, published by Al-Hidayah in England. So anyways, inshallah, we try to benefit from some of what's in it, but not much. Basically, some of the classification that the author uses there. So one thing that we need to recall in our understanding of this graph or this change in the state of our iman from being at the peak to being at in the valley is the hadith of Hanbala radiallahu anhu. When he said, Nafaqa Hanbala, Nafaqa Hanbala, he went out of his house, walking in the street and saying, Nafaqa Hanbala. Hanbala has committed hypocrisy, or he is in a state of hypocrisy. And he met Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said, asked him, why are you saying that? He said, when we are with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reminds us about the Jannah and the fire, so it is as if we are looking at them. The way that he describes them to them, it is as if they are looking at them. But then when we go to our families and mix with our wives and children, we forget a lot of that. So he thought that this could be a situation of hypocrisy, where when he is with the Prophet ﷺ, he feels good and with strong iman, but when he goes and mixes with his family and children, his iman does not remain at the same level. So Rasulullah ﷺ told him that if you could remain at this level that you are, that you have, لو أنكم تكونون على ما أنتم عليه أني, if you stay at this level, لصافحتكم الملائكة في الطرق أو في الطرقات, the angels would shake hands with you on the roads and on your mattresses or beds. So the angels, you'll be at such an elevated, a sublime state that you will be suitable for the greeting of the angels all the time. The angels will come and talk to you and greet you. But this is not how the human beings are made. They are made to commit mistakes and repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that if you do not sin, Allah Azza wa Jalla will take you away and bring other people who would sin and repent to Allah, and He accepts their repentance. So it is the human nature that we cannot stay at this level. We are not prophets, we are not infallible, so we are bound to make mistakes. We are bound to sin. But as I said, what is important is to repent, to go back up. When we fall down, we do not say, this is how we are created, so I will try to live with it. No. We keep fighting back. This is how our life is supposed to be. This is why we are in this life, in a trial situation all the time. We fall down, we climb up again. We fall, we climb up. And if we do not do this, if we let ourselves fall, then The downfall, the steep downfall will happen as I described earlier, which we do not want to ever happen. So we want to see how we can, when our iman decreases, how to push it, boost it up again. What things can we do to improve our iman? So this is the subject of our discussion. And there are, as I said, a number of things that we can do. Inshallah, we'll get to them in due time, or to many of them, as many as possible. But that will be, inshallah, with the contribution of the audience. So inshallah, I will ask for your suggestion or ideas in regard to what things decrease. Most of them are red, even though this has a black cap, but that's okay. Decrease. It's okay with me if it's okay with everybody. Some people are irritated when they see black or red. Decrease of iman. And here we have increase of iman. So we need to list whatever reasons or causes we know or we think of that could lead to our to decrease in our iman or increase in our iman. So now I want to hear some suggestions. Hold on. Now?
Not reading the book of Allah.
Decrease of iman, not reading Quran. Okay, next. Huh? I can't hear. Ba'ath? Ma'asi, sins. Okay. Any more? If you raise your hand, Salah? Salah increases or decreases?
Not praying on time.
Huh? Or if you do not pray. So you are saying people who do not pray, dropping the salah or tahawun fi salah, which means disconcern about salah. Okay, what else? Doesn't matter. If you know about something, you want to say something about how to increase our iman, you can say it too.
No.
Huh? Seeking
Zikr,
or remembrance. What's that? Sitting in, you mean in halqat of knowledge, seeking knowledge? Seeking in halqat of dhikr. I write dhikr because that is more general. It includes knowledge. Okay. Now. Neglecting acts of worship. So now this comes under this.
Following your own desires.
Following the desires. Okay. Inshallah, once we finish, or we find that we have exhausted our ideas, then we will try to organize what we have here and to give proofs for it from the book and the sunnah. Useful knowledge, that is probably related to this, so useful knowledge. Okay, what do you say?
Bad company
and good company. Okay, now.
Okay, joining. You mean Shirk Asghar maybe, because Shirk Akbar, that takes you totally out of Iman. But you probably mean minor Shirk, yeah, like Riya and things like that. Okay. So minor Shirk.
And arrogance.
Shirk. Arrogance.
Heedlessness.
Ghafla about what? Okay. 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 Love of dunya. Ignorance? Ignorance. Where is useful knowledge? So we can put it across from here. Ignorance.
Remembering death.
Remembrance of what? Remembering death.
Increase this.
Remembering death. Ill manners or bad manners? Okay. Okay. And I don't know if you can read this, but no, I cannot read it. What do you say? Bad intention?
Bad intention. Not sincerity. I mean,
okay. Lack of sincerity. Yeah. Okay. What else? Anything else?
Coming to the mosque.
Coming to the masjid. That will be with the good company, maybe you're sitting at Halqat al-Dhikr and related things. So, coming to the attending masjid. Okay. Acting on useful knowledge that increases the iman, you are saying, right? So, useful knowledge and acting on it. Okay. Anything else? No. Backbiting. Backbiting. Oh no, this is under the ankle. Okay. Yeah. Okay, delaying tawbah. Now we are out of space. Persisting on sins and delaying tawbah. Okay.
Lying.
Lying. Okay, I guess we got a lot of points. Yeah, go ahead, last one. Oh, that's okay, inshallah. We can bring this closer. That's fine. That's fine. What's that? Muhafaza al-Salah, I think we already mentioned this. Oh, this will be the, it will come here. Maintaining or prayer and other acts of worship. Okay. Okay, that's opposite to dunya. We said, where was it? Dunya. Here? Remembering death and hereafter. Right. Okay, so now we got a lot of points. And as we will see, some of those points are related, or they come under the same general heading or general understanding. So we will see that, inshallah, we see how we can do that to classify things easier in our minds. And then after that, inshallah, we can put some, or give some proofs for what we are saying. Okay. Now, this book that I refer to, by Sheikh Abbad, he say, he classifies the reasons of decrease of iman to two general categories first. And those two general categories, now I totally out of space, so we can flip it to the other side, but we need what's on this side too, so that's okay. I'll use this area for now until we can erase some. External reasons, decrease of iman. There are external reasons, and second, there are internal. Internal. So there are two groups. Let's call them A and B, capital A and capital B. Capital A, the external, and capital B are the internal. Now, the external reasons, the internal reasons are the reasons that arise from the person himself, from his action or lack of action. And these include ignorance, and this has been mentioned. That includes ghafla, and this has been mentioned, this concern or something, or neglect of acts of worship. Somewhere we had this concern or something. This concern about salah and some other things. So it's ghafla and i'rad and nasyan, which means turning away from the obligations and from the requirements. And then committing sins. Committing sins. Ignorance and ghafla are lack of action. One doesn't do what is needed to improve. He remains ignorant because he doesn't make any effort to become knowledgeable, to have knowledge. Yeah, we're still internal. And also, as for actions, there is committing sins and acts of disobedience. That is doing something that is internal, which means it is done by the person himself, not by an external factor from outside of him. He is the one who does it. Or he is the one who doesn't do what he is supposed to do. So that causes the decrease of iman. And fourthly, an-nafsul ammaratu bis-su. A nafs that tells a person or commands a person to do wrong things. So these are the internal things that cause decrease of iman in general. And then there are external things, things that are external to the human being. And these are, first of all, anybody has an idea what would that be?
Shaitan.
So the external things would be shaitan and bad company, which was mentioned here, and dunya, and the fitna of dunya. That's part of it. So these are the external things. These are the contrary to the external internal things. So now when we look at these things here that were mentioned, we can start putting A or B next to them. So not reading the Quran, what is it, A or B?
That's B.
It's B, internal. Sins, committing sins.
B.
Yeah. Disconcern and neglect.
B.
Okay. Following desires.
B.
Okay. Ignorance.
B.
Bad company.
B.
A.
A.
Minor shirk. Arrogance, etc. B. Love of dunya. This.
A.
As dunya, the temptation of the dunya is A.
Yeah.
And then ill manners, lack of sincerity, backbiting, lying, persisting on sinning, delaying tawbah, all of these are B. Okay. Now, this is for the decrease of iman. Now how about increase of iman? The causes of increase of iman, and again I'm following the general classification in this book, is first of all تعلم العلم النافع, seeking the correct or useful knowledge, and this is here. And then, and under this comes a number of things that we will be getting to some of them, inshallah. And then, pondering about the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal and His creation, and this was not mentioned, so we will write it here. Tafakkur yani wa tadabbur. And number three, ibadah, maintaining prayers, ibadat, etc. This is number three. And that's basically what he gives as causes for increase of iman. What's that? No, that's all what he has here. I'm just following what he has specified in his book, but it doesn't mean that you have to go by it. So I'm saying that good company, for example, doesn't come under any of them as far as I can see. Even though good company can help in maintaining the prayers or dhikr or, and so on. Dhikr can come under ibadat, under and sitting in halqat of dhikr. This could be between 1 and 3.
No, yeah.
So these can go to number 1 and number 3. Good company and remembrance of death. Remembrance of death, even though it could come under number 2, but not necessarily. And then good company is a group by itself. So this is just to give you an idea what classification we have in that book. I find it more useful, his classification, to remember the reasons for the decrease of iman. Now for the increase of iman, we can actually apply the same classification if we like. Which means we say that there are external reasons and there are internal reasons. Just as he did for the decrease of iman. And then under those, we can have subdivisions and we take these different things that he mentioned. Okay, so this is one way of remembering, and inshallah I will do some more to improve on this classification so that we'll end up when we finish this being able to remember that, to have some scheme in our mind to remember the procedure for increasing, knowing how to our iman increases or decreases and how to deal with that. As I mentioned earlier, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about the situation of the heart and how easy it is for it to change from one state to another. And another hadith, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, لَقَلْبُ ابْنِ آدَمْ أَسْرَعُ أَوْ أَشَدُّ انْقِلَابًا مِنَ الْقِدْرِ إِذَا اجْتَمَعَتْ غَلَيَانًا. The heart of the human being turns over more than a pot which is fully boiling. So see how that turns from one side to the other, from one state, the water comes down and up, up, down and up, up and down and up. This is how our hearts keep flipping and turning about from one side to the other. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ قُلُوبَ ابْنِ آدَمْ كُلُّهَا بَيْنَ إِصْبَعَيْنِ مِنْ أَصَابِعِ الرَّحْمَنِ يُقَلِّبُهَا كَقَلْبٍ وَاحِدٍ يُصَرِّفُهُ أَوْ يَصْرِفُهُ حَيْثُ شَاءَ. And then he used to make the dua, Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. So he said, indeed, the hearts of the human beings, all of them are between two fingers of the fingers of the Most Merciful. He turned them about as he wills. And then he said, he used to make the dua, Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. O Allah, the one who turns the hearts, turn our hearts to obeying you. In the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. And know well that Allah comes in between or separates between the human being and his heart. Now, The ayah? I'll try to think of it. I haven't marked it here. Surat? What surah? Al-Imran? I can't remember right now. Anybody knows which ayah is this? Anfal. وَعَلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْبَى الْمَلِي وَقَلْبُ أَنَّهُ إِلَيْهِ تَحْشَبُونَ سورة الأنفال. طيب. And it is... Okay, we mentioned here, you mentioned actually, a number of things that cause the weakness of Iman. Inshallah, now I will mention, probably repeat some of them, and bring some evidences for them, and bring some others, which will all be like subgroups of what is here on this site. So Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, about the Jews, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَا كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَصْوَةً. Then your hearts have become hard after that, so that they are as hard as the rocks, or even harder. So that is what could happen to a person if he neglects his heart and lets it fall or away or fall down in the loss of Iman, so that it will become totally useless, totally dry and hard like rocks. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in another hadith, that when a person commits sins, too many sins, without repenting to Allah Azza wa Jal, without removing the trace of the sins from his heart, then eventually his heart becomes totally dark and capsized, turned upside down, so that it would not be able to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, wal-iyaz billah. So what are these things that cause this? And in, well, it would be probably before mentioning some, to go back to the beginning of the hadith that I just referred to. In that hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us, تعرض الفتن على القلوب كعرض الحصير عودا عودا. The fitan, the trials, are presented to the heart like straws of a mat, one after another. And you know how a mat that is made of straws, how many straws there are in it? Lots of them. So, which means, and they come one after the other, so they do not wait. There is no gap between one and the other. So as soon as one ends, the other starts. As soon as one ends, the next starts. So a person would then be always in a state of fitna. And these fitna are the things that cause the decrease in Iman. And that is why we need to fight back with every fitna that comes to our hearts. We need to push back and clean its trace from our hearts, so that our hearts would not reach a stage where the darkness and the spots that are caused by these fitan, the reduction of Iman, does not accumulate on our hearts, making a layer of darkness, of blackness, that prevents the heart from seeing the truth after that. So so now we can mention some of those straws that come to the hearts. The first is committing sins, and this has been mentioned here. Committing sins decrease the Iman, and we have just mentioned the hadith which tells us about the fitan or the tribulation that are exposed, to which the heart is exposed, and how they affect the heart. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فَأَيُّ قَلْبٍ أُشْرِبَهَا نَكَتَتْ فِيهِ أَوْ نُكِتَتْ فِيهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَاءٌ. Whichever heart accepts that, absorbs that fitna, that trial, that sin, and allows it to stay, then that leaves in it a dark or black spot. Another reason for the weakness of the hearts is to not perfect the acts of worship, to do the acts of worship in a sort of a mechanical way, without putting our mind and our thoughts into them. So that causes the hearts, you know, once the ibadat become like a routine, they lose their spirit, they lose their value. And therefore when a person prays, he finishes the prayer like he started it, without getting anything out of it, any benefit out of it. Whereas the prayer is meant, for example, for the person to come out of it in a much better stage than when he started. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, that the prayers are like a river in front of our house. We dip ourselves into it 5 times a day. So he says, if you do this in a river, if you dip yourself into that river 5 times a day, would that leave any dirt on your body? And he was told no. He said, and that is how the 5 prayers are. But if the prayers lose that effect of cleansing the sins, of improving our iman, then what is the benefit of them? If we start in the prayer from the beginning, from saying Allahu Akbar to saying Salaamu Alaikum, our mind is somewhere else, in our business and in the with our children, with our wife, in the worldly matters. Then there is no way that this prayer would be of benefit for us. It becomes like a routine. And the same is true about any other acts of worship. Like some people after the prayer, you see them, you know, clicking on their fingers or with a masbaha, with the beads. Supposedly they are making dhikr. But, you know, they are doing it so fast, looking around, maybe even sometimes talking to people. I have seen people moving their fingers while they are talking to others. How could they make tasbih and talk to others at the same time? So the tasbih became also meaningless. And fasting became just a way of making ourselves hungry. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صَوْمِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشُ. How many persons who fast, they do not get out of their fasting but hunger and thirst. وَكَمْ مِنْ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرُ. And how many people get up at night to pray, but all what happens, what they get out of that, is awakeness. That they stay awake at night, they do not lose some sleep. But they do not get any true benefit out of that ibadah, which is the qiyam. So our ibadat have lost their meaning, and or a lot of their meaning. And in order for us to increase our iman, we need to bring back some meaning into our ibadat, which means we need to put our heart into every action that we are doing and fight the shaitan. You know, the shaitan will come and whisper to us from the beginning of the prayer, as soon as we say Allahu Akbar, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us. As soon as we say Allahu Akbar, the shaitan comes to us, or even before that. He comes when to us, when the adhan is given, he runs away, then he comes back. And then when the takbir start, when we say Allahu Akbar, start the prayer, then he comes and starts whispering. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about this, and he said, this is a shaitan that is called khinzib. Then if you feel like that it is bothering you, then spit lightly to your left and say ta'awwudh. Ask Allah to protect you from it, from him. So as I said, we need to put more, to strive more, to have better outcome from our prayers, because from our ibadat, because the outcome that we get from our ibadat is like our principle in this life. That is, or the crops, the only useful crops that we get out of this life. And that will be of benefit for us. So if they lose their value, lose their meaning, and sometimes they even become of opposite meaning. Like some people, as Rasulullah ﷺ described them, they seek, and this is the signs of the last hour, as he said, وَالْتُمِسَتِ الدُّنْيَا بِعَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ. When the people seek the dunya through the actions of al-akhirah, the deeds that are meant to be for the pleasure of Allah and for the hereafter, for our salvation in the hereafter. If a person uses those things, those deeds, for worldly benefits, then it's not that he is losing his important outcome from this life, but it is even turning against him. It will be, so instead of remaining at, you know, the ibadah, let's say it gives you a mark of 100, let's say. Now, if we do not do it well, then we will lose some of that 100. We may get 50, let's say. And this is probably a very good mark, 50, as I mentioned from a hadith about the prayer. Now, if we do it not as good as to deserve the 50, then we get a smaller, a lesser score, 25, 25. If we do it without any thought about it, totally, mechanically, and routinely, without even realizing that we have performed that ibadah, then we get 0 mark, let's say, out of it. Now, if we do it, and we are doing it not for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, we are just showing off to the people that we are doing it for the pleasure of Allah, but we are doing it for some other things, like to please the other people, or to earn some money out of it, or something like that, then we will be getting a negative score. Negative 5, negative 50, negative 100, even more than that. So there is no one single score for all people who perform ibadah. You may find two people praying, and they may be praying exactly the same way, from the beginning to the end of the prayer. But one of them, he gets a very high score for his prayer, and the other may be getting a very high negative score for his prayer. So we have to be careful about that. And in regard to the prayer, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The one of you will pray the prayer, and will not be written for him or recorded for him, except nisfuha illa." Misfaha, except half of it. So he will get the reward of half of it. And then he mentioned after nisfaha, he started by nisfaha, by half. Then he said rubu'aha, thuluthaha, rubu'aha, khumusaha, and so on. And until he reached ushuraha, it's one tenth of its reward. So just imagine, we are praying a prayer and we get only half of the reward for the prayer, and some people get one tenth, and as I said, some people don't get anything, and some people get negative reward for that, which means they will incur sins on themselves through the acts of worship, as in the example, as in the hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that on the day of judgment, the first people with whom the fire will be burnt or started or ignited are three types of people, and all of them did good deeds of the a'mal, of the deeds of al-akhirah, but seeking by them some benefits from the worldly life instead. And those are a person who learned the Quran and taught it. He did that just so that people would say that he is alim. And the second person is one who fought for the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal in what appears to the people, but in reality he fought so that the people would say he is courageous. And the third person is one who gave away his money, or a lot of money, for the sake of Allah and what appears to the people, but actually he gave it away so that the people would say he is generous. And Allah Azza wa Jal says that all of this has been said, which means the people have said about them what they desired, therefore they got the reward that they sought. But in the Akhirah they have no reward, because they already got their rewards in the first life. So they will be the first to be thrown in the hellfire, wa'iyadhu billah. So that shows us how dangerous it is to use the acts of worship in a way other than what they were supposed to be for. Instead of pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, to use them in a way that does not please Allah, or else, worse than that, in a way that displeases Allah, like when we do them with riya, and as was mentioned here, minor shirk, arrogance, heedlessness, etc. Okay. Of the things that decrease the iman, there are internal. Oh, here's black. Oh, they have the caps flipped, I see. Internal and okay, I'll organize it all together in a nice way, inshallah, so that those who have papers with them, they can write that and save it for future reference. So, causes for increase in causes for increase and decrease of iman. And now we make this table. Increase. Well, let's say decrease first, as we did before. And then increase. And then here we put external, internal reasons, internal factors, and here external factors. To the left of the table. So on top, on the top of the table, we have decrease and increase. To the left, we have internal factors, external factors. Now, of the internal factors, we have now a number of lines. Sorry for the table being not straight. Okay, so a number of reasons here and a number here. Okay, so we said of the external, I can use the other color. Okay, this is red. Okay, ignorance. Heedlessness. And negligence. And committing sins and disobedience, and finally النفس الأمارة بالسوء, the nafs, the nafs. As for the external factors, we said shaitan, and there is dunya, and there is bad company. Okay. So, as for the things that increase the iman, now we put just there contraries, the opposites of these, and then whatever we mention or we have been mentioning, you can in your mind or on the paper put it under the proper place of this table. So, and the opposite to ignorance will be seeking knowledge. So knowledge is a reason to improve the iman, useful knowledge. Committing sins and disobedience, the opposite to it is striving with acts of obedience. And staying away from the sins, there's a word for it, abstinence. As for heedlessness and negligence, one needs to strive for striving for obedience and abstinence, and this is striving for ihsan. Okay? Maybe you can put taqwa here with ihsan. And as for the nafs, I mean, the only thing is to strive against the nafs, not to let it have its way, which means suppressing our nafs, nafs al-ammara. As for the external factor, shaitan, again, you know, you have to fight against shaitan, which means not to listen to him or disobey him. And this is, we see how you can do that, inshallah. And that dunya also, look at it, or see its real, you need to see it in its true colors, or see its reality. Okay, so now, its reality, or truth. What's the truth of dunya? And bad company seeking good company. Okay. Make it look somewhat better and easier to see from a distance. This is a major separation here. Okay. If somebody has written it, inshallah you can give me a copy. Inshallah. Inshallah, we'll be mentioning some of these, inshallah, in whatever time is left. Alaykum as-salam. Pardon me?
We have written suppression. Can I put self-control?
Suppression, self-control, yeah. Yeah, that's good, inshallah. Okay. About what? Ayatuhu zaratum iman, alright. That, yeah, you are asking where this comes in this table? Where do you propose that it comes? It would come under useful knowledge, and where else? Under ihsan also. Ihsan, striving for perfection. And taqwa. So all these that we mentioned now, the point that we'll be mentioning, can be put under one of these, in general, I mean, or one or more of those classifications. Okay. Now, of the reasons of decrease of iman is to be lazy in performing acts of worship. To be lazy, to go lazy to the prayer. As Allah Azza wa Jal describes the munafiqeen, the hypocrisy says, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. When they get up for the prayer, they get up lazily. Lazily. So one should be alert always and ready. And actually we should be in a state, we should train ourselves to be in a state where we look forward to the prayer. And we love to the time that comes for the next prayer, as is this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described as he would say, "Arihna biha ya Bilal," or Bilal gives us some raha, some serenity, some pleasure by the prayer. And as he was described, كَانَ إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ فَزَعَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. When he is in a hard situation, he would rush to the prayer. So the prayer is a source of pleasure, happiness, reassurance for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And contrary to the people who have weak iman, they are lazy. When it's the prayer time, they say, oh, la hawla wa quwwata illa, we just prayed the previous prayer. We have so many things to do in this life. Why do we have to pray again? So, for a person... Now I flip this. Can we flip it without hitting the wall? I don't know. I just want to show... Oops. Okay. Now, if we... That's okay. I'll flip it back quickly, inshallah. So, what I want to say is that let's think of our day like this bar here. And this bar has... I'll make them equal in length, even though they are not equal in duration of time. It has like these little sections. And some of these sections are dark, and others are white. 1, 2, 3, 4, let's make one more here, to make it correspond to the 5 daily prayers. Okay. Now for a believer who has strong iman, he realizes that, you know, to him, those things that I have marked, and I'll add one more here. For a believer, to him, the white marks are the prayer. They are like the shiny points in his day. The important things, the important things that he wants to get to in his day. Like, you know, for a businessman, he says, okay, now in my day, I will have such and such business deal at 5. He looks at his calendar, okay, 10 in the morning, I have a meeting. 3 in the afternoon, I have another meeting. 7 in the evening, I have a third meeting. So those are the high, the milestones of his day. And those are the most important things in his mind that he needs to look, that he looks forward to in the whole day. And unfortunately for most of us, this is how we act, this is how we think. The worldly things are the highlights or the landmarks or the milestones of our day. But for a true believer, he sees the true picture of things. So to him, the highlighted part or the milestones of the day are actually the prayer times. And everything else centers around them. Which means he says, okay, now the most next important thing for me, it's now 3 o'clock, so the next important thing that I look forward to is the Asr prayer. The Asr prayer will be in 2 hours. So what things I have to do from now to the Asr prayer so that I get to that great thing that I'm waiting for. And then after Asr there is Maghrib prayer, and after Maghrib there is Isha prayer, and so on. So this is how the picture changes between a believer, a person with strong iman or belief, and another person with not as much strong iman. And that is, as I said, as how Allah describes the munafiqeen as, إِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. They get up lazily. Whereas the true believers, with their example, the Prophet ﷺ, they go to the prayer with longing, with a feeling of longing, that I miss the prayer, I want to pray now. I feel so much happiness in it, and I have not prayed for so long, for 10 minutes, so it's time that I want to pray. As Allah Azza wa Jalla described, or as Rasulullah ﷺ described, one of the people that he covers or protects under the shade of his throne, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ, a man whose heart is attached to the masajid. And the masajid means he loves to go to the masjid, like the masjid we are in, Or to the, as the ulama explained also, that masajid means the prayer places. It's not just the masjid as a building with four walls, but it is the prayer as a whole. The masjid means also in Arabic the place of sujood, and which means the prayer. Wherever he goes for prayer, so his heart is attached to the prayer, in other words. He's always thinking about the prayer. A problem that is an indication more than a cause of the weakness of iman is the that a person would not be affected by the Qur'an. That one would not be affected by the Qur'an. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us about the believers, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّوا قُلُوبُ. Those who believe and their hearts attain serenity through the mention of Allah and the remembrance of Allah. Indeed, in the mention of and remembrance of Allah, their hearts attain serenity. And he says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And those, he describes the believer as being those who, when our ayat are recited to them, they increase in their iman. They increase in their iman. So as the brother was mentioning earlier, where would we classify this? He was asking. It is to be under useful knowledge, but I would put it more under striving for ihsan and taqwa. That a person who seeks to improve his iman needs to do some striving so that he is, when he reads the Quran, it brings more iman to his heart. One thing important to mention now that comes to my mind with the time getting shorter, so that I do not miss it, and I think it's an important part of this talk, is that as you see here, we put committing sins and acts of disobedience as being reasons for decreasing our iman. And on the other hand, striving for obedience and abstinence from sins as being reasons or causes for increasing our iman. Now, in explanation for this, I'd like to cite the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذَا تَقَرَّبَ عَبْدِي إِلَيَّ شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا وَإِذَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ ذِرَاعًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا وَإِذَا أَتَانِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلًا. Which means, when my servant comes close to me, a distance of a span, which means a hand span, that much, then I come to him an arm length, from the tip of the finger to the elbow. That's dira, or arm length. So if he comes to me this much, I come closer to him that much. وَإِذَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ ذِرَاعًا. And if he comes close to me that much, تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا. I come to him that much distance. Sorry. Which is about three times as much. So which means we move one step towards Allah, he moves two steps towards us. And maybe more sometimes. And this is better than what some companies that you work in pay you when they match your money, right? You pay $1, they pay $2, they say, right? So this is a matching in a much better and useful way. It's in a lasting way that if we do a little good, Allah Azza wa Jal comes to us closer, which means he facilitates more good to us. And that means that, for instance, let's say that we want to cover the distance from here to the wall. Okay, now, if I want to go from here to the wall, and that is where I want, you know, that is where I have a goal of doing something good. If I do, and normally it would take me 10 steps, let's say, to get to that wall. But because of Allah's facilitation, I take one step, the wall takes two steps in my direction. Allah brings the wall closer to me two steps. And then I take another step and the wall comes two steps. So how many steps I need to get to the wall? That's an arithmetic question now. How many steps? There are 10 steps between me and the wall. How many steps, if I have sincerity, and that wall is a goal of obedience that I am heading to? How many steps I need to get to the wall? Five? Huh? Three, just a little over three. Because with three steps, the wall has moved in my direction six steps. So that makes nine. That means that there's only one step between me and the wall. So you see, that makes our work much easier and increases our iman in a very simple way. We think that if we, if I have to go to the wall or to whatever goal it is, no matter how far it is, that's a long distance. That's too much work. And I will not be able to do it. I'll be too tired before I get there. But remember Allah's facilitation. Remember Allah's tawfiq. Remember that once we start doing the good, once we start striving to improve our iman, Allah Azza wa Jalla will not leave us alone. The mathematics of this world does not apply to us anymore. Because Allah will multiply things for us. وَإِذَا أَتَانِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلًا. He says at the end of the hadith. And if he comes to me walking, I come to him running. So Allah will make things easy for us. And we have to do it. We have to take a step. We have to take the first step, and we see that things become easier after that first step. We do something good. So if somebody, for instance, is praying, and he says, well, he gets, let's say, to the second rak'ah, and he says, I did not concentrate well on the first rak'ah, so I did not get much out of it, so might as well not concentrate on the rest of the prayer, and maybe inshallah on the next prayer I'll try to do better. This is a wrong thought. This is a wrong thought from the shaitan, because I try to move a little, maybe standing will take me away from the sun. This is a wrong thought brought to us by Shaitan, that he wants us to stop doing the good as much as possible. But no, even if we concentrate for a little bit in that prayer, we will find that that little bit is much more than a little bit. It ends up being more than a little bit. So if we try to understand what we are saying in one ayah or two ayat, we find that Allah facilitated for us more than that. Four or five or ten or maybe to the end of the prayer. So let us not postpone and wait and think that it is not yet time for us to start doing good or certain good deed because we are not ready for it or things like that. Another reason of the weakness of iman is that one would not be angry when he sees Allah being disobeyed. He does not get angry when he sees that Allah is being disobeyed. And this would probably come under committing sins and disobedience, because that anger in this case is an act of obedience. Anger is an act of obedience, and being careless is, or maybe it comes here under heedlessness and negligence. Being careless is an act of disobedience. So, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان. Which means when one of you sees munkar, sees something wrong being done, then let him change it with his hand. If he cannot, then with his tongue. If he cannot, then with his heart. And that is the least, the slightest of iman. Which means there is no iman after that. So one cannot see a munkar, a Muslim may not see a wrong thing taking place in front of him and not dislike it in his heart. So that's the minimum amount of iman that would be, that we dislike it in our hearts. And the capability in this hadith means that you are truly and fully able to change. Which means if one sees something wrong and he can change it
by himself with his hand. With his hand doesn't mean necessarily physically with his own hands, which means he can do something to stop it, whether it is by a hand or by some tools or by telling somebody who are under his control or obey him to do and change it or something like that. That all comes under being by his own hand, which means he with his own power and influence changes that munkar. So one, if one has the influence and ability and power to change something wrong and he does not change it, then he is committing a sin by that. And the full ability and influence means that there will not be any repercussions from his changing the munkar. If there are repercussions, then they will have to be evaluated to see whether they will lead to more munkar or not. And so on. Similarly for the tongue, this is explained in the book Commanding Good and Forbidding Evil according to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. So this is the first stage. Then the next stage is to say something about it, to advise about it, if he doesn't have the influence, the power, the material power to change it by himself. If he cannot, then the third is the last, and there is no stage after it. He must hate it with his heart. So if a person sees something wrong and he passes by it and he does not dislike it with his heart, or he dislikes it a little bit, but he likes it a little bit, and then the next time he will dislike it less and like it more, so then eventually he will like it. And this is a great problem for a person to like something that Allah Azza wa Jal hates. This is a sign of disbelief. Because one of the signs of Iman, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, is that you would love someone, loving him only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that what we do it for the pleasure of Allah as something that Allah Azza wa Jal loves, as he tells us in Surah Al-Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يَحْبُكُمْ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, if you love Allah, follow me, Allah will love you and forgive your sins. So if a person approves of the munkar, approves of the wrong, and does not object to it, even with his heart, then that is a sign of weakness of Iman. And of the signs of weakness of Iman that were mentioned before we erased and put this table, and they would come all under probably the nafs here, or maybe combination of these two, are there was mention of arrogance, of show-off, of riya, of loving to be, be in the position of leadership or to address people, to love to be like at the head of sittings and things like that, and of the signs of weakness of Iman, or the reasons, the causes of Iman, is that one would belittle good things, that one would belittle acts of obedience, and one should not belittle any of them, as Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق, which means do not belittle any of the good deeds, even if it be that you meet your brother with a smiling face. So one should never belittle an act of worship. And as I said a little earlier, that sometimes these little things are the start for the big things. Those are like the pennies that when we collect together, we end up with dollars of hasanat and millions, inshallah. And the generosity of Allah Azza wa Jal is far beyond the generosity and the measures of the people. So if we see little things, let us not say, what is this, what is that, I do not want to do it, I only want to do the great things. No, the good thing, the little things are part of the overall good that we are trying to establish in ourselves and make ourselves act upon. So we want And as I said, that if you do little, Allah Azza wa Jalla will facilitate more for you. Do little, Allah Azza wa Jalla will facilitate, multiply it, and facilitate more for you. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, that فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلَوْ بِشَقِّ تَمْرَةٍ, which means protect yourselves from the fire, even if it is with half a date. With half a date, you could sometimes protect yourself from the fire by giving it in charity. So one should not belittle the good things, and one should be careful about when he is privately by himself, that he would commit lots of sins that he would not otherwise commit. And this is something that we are all liable to, and this is probably one of our worst problems. And as Allah, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described such people, الَّذِينَ إِذَا خَلَوْا بِمَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ انْتَهَكُوهَا, those who, when they are in private with the prohibited things that Allah prohibited, they will fall upon them, they will override them or overstep them or commit them, in other words. So we have to be careful about that. A lot, being excessive in arguing, that is one of the things that cause a decrease in our iman, and that are indications of our iman, being attached too much to the dunya. And this is one of the external factors that we mentioned. And ignorance, and ignorance of course means in regard to the useful knowledge, to the shari'i knowledge, and having hope, too much hope about the dunya. And this comes under here, dunya again, that we are too concerned about this worldly life. So what to do then? We mentioned most of the things that help increase our iman, and foremost and first is useful knowledge. And useful knowledge is the knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we need to learn the Quran, study it, and read it extensively, because as we said earlier, that those who, when they, that when they, the ayat of Allah are recited to them, they increase in iman, their hearts tremble, they feel the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they increase in serenity, those are the people who are truly believers. And this comes by spending a lot of time with the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal, trying, working on understanding it, and learning, memorizing, studying, understanding, etc. And this is part of the useful knowledge. Similarly, the knowledge of the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says about the Quran, وَنَزِّلَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا, which means we reveal of the Quran that which is, or in which there is a cure and mercy for the believers. And but it does not increase the disbelievers or the transgressors, but in loss, which means it only adds to their loss. We need to contemplate over the greatness. This also a point that we had here earlier, and this comes probably under here, striving for ihsan and taqwa. Contemplate over Allah's greatness and powers. As he subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ, they have not given Allah his true or his rightful esteem. He mentioned this in a number of places of the Quran, and he says, Subhanallahi amma yasifoon, exalted is Allah above what they ascribe to him or describe him. So we need to have the true belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, the correct knowledge about Allah, which derives from the Book and the Sunnah, which gives us the correct understanding of His names and attributes, so that we know who is Allah Azza wa Jal. And the better that we know Him, the better that we love Him, the better that we are willing to act in obedience to Him, the better that we are ready to have taqwa of Him, to fear Him and revere Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to seek the useful knowledge again, as we said, in general, the Book and the Sunnah and whatever derives from them. Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, only the ulama are those who fear Allah among His servants. So in order to attain the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, fearing Allah we need to increase our knowledge, the true knowledge, as we said, the knowledge that's based on the correct sources. And Allah says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, can they be equal, those who know and those who do not know? And then we need to stay in the company of Muslims in Hilaq al-Dhikr, in the circles of knowledge and the circles of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as, and this comes here under good company, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that whenever a group of people get together in one of the houses of Allah, reading the book of Allah and studying it among each other, the angels will surround them, the mercy will engulf them, and the sakina, serenity, will descend on them, and Allah will mention them to those who are with Him. We need to fill our time with good things, with good actions, and that would probably be under striving for obedience and striving for ihsan. We need to avoid wasting our time on worthless matters or acts of obedience, but rather fill our times with good things, as Allah commands, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. And in the other place He says, وَسَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, which means compete or rush to a forgiveness from your Lord. So one should compete and strive and fill his time with good things. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, that one will not depart from his position of judgment on the day of judgment until he's asked about four things, and one of those four things is his lifetime, in what did he spend it in? In what did he spend it? An umrihi fima abla, fima afna, wa an shababihi fima abla. And one should frequently mention death. And this comes also under taqwa and ihsan. One should fear death and realize the short span of this life, and that he will die any moment, and should fear his khatima, because as we said, that the hearts of the people are between two fingers of Ar-Rahman, and he turns them any way he wills. So we have to be concerned that our hearts would be turned in the wrong way because of our misgivings, our misdeeds. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, that a person would continue to act, to do deeds of the people of Jannah in what appears to the people, until there is not between him and it but a zira, an arm length, and then he does the deeds of the people of the fire, and he enters it. So he enters into the hellfire, wa'iyadhu billah. So that is because a person would be careless about being in or maintaining a state of obedience and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the last minute, and not realizing or remembering that the last minute could be this minute. So one should fear the last minute or the end of his life to be coming to him any time, and take heed because of that. One should think about and ponder over the worthlessness of this worldly life, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, that if this worldly life was worth the tongue of the wing of a mosquito, he would not have given a drink of water to the to a disbeliever from it. One should stay with the believers and stay away from the disbelievers. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل, which means the person or the human being is upon the religion of his close companion. So look as to whom you take as your close companion. And finally, one should always hold himself accountable. We should always discuss with ourselves every minute, every hour, every day, what we have done. Why did we do this? Why didn't we do that? And why did not we perfect what we did, that we could have done it in a better way? And as I said, this is our principle in this life. This is the only outcome or crops that we can take to the hereafter. So if it is not good and worthy day by day and hour by hour and minute by minute, then it is a waste. It is a loss for us. So we need to hold ourselves accountable like a strict merchant would hold his employees accountable and come to them and say, why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why did you make this much money and not more? You could have sold this, you could have bought that, etc., etc. So we should be even more concerned about this in regard to ourselves and hold ourselves accountable very strictly, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنظُرْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Which means, all you who believe, fear Allah, have taqwa of Allah, revere Allah, and let every soul look to what it has put forth for tomorrow, which means check the value of the thing that we have done and whether they will be of benefit for us tomorrow in the next life. And as Umar radiallahu anhu said, حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا وزنوها قبل أن توزن أو توزن عليكم, which means hold yourselves accountable before you will be held accountable on the day of judgment, and weigh them, weigh your deeds before they will be weighed against yourselves. So this is an overview of this subject of causes of for increase and decrease of iman. And I don't know, but I hope that this table that we laid here on the board will be of benefit for us to remember the outline of this or the procedure that we discussed in this talk. And there is much more to it than what we covered today. As I said, there is a good reference that's available for you, or could be available soon, inshallah, if they do not have it here. This book by Sheikh Abdul Razzaq Al-Abbad. They have it? Okay, so alhamdulillah, you can read it, inshallah, and benefit more on the subject. So I stop here. هذا وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
جزاك الله خيرا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward our Sheikh Muhammad Jibali for the useful knowledge he put forward to us. And we as Muslims are from now on responsible to take that and use that knowledge to increase our iman, to avoid our iman to decrease. For the time being, we will entertain a few questions. I think this lecture was presented well. With those who take note, I don't think they have that much question. So the floor is open for questions. But we start with this question, I think, from the sisters.
Okay. How can you tell if your iman increased or decreased? What are the signs? We mentioned some of the symptoms, I believe, of the increase, of the decrease of iman. If we find that we are lazy in performing the ibadat, if we feel that our heart is hard, it's not moved by listening to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we find that we are doing our ibadat in a routine way, we are not perfecting them and getting the best output or outcome out of them, if we find that our heart feels tight and كَأَنَّمَا يَصَعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ, as if, as Allah Azza wa Jalla describes such a person with a tight heart, as if he is going up in the upper layers of the sky, if we are not moved by listening to the Quran, as I said earlier, if we are unaware of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we do not feel angry when we see Allah being disobeyed in front of us, if we like to show off and seek the rewards from the people instead of Allah Azza wa Jal, if we find ourselves disobeying Allah in secret while we are showing our good face to the people in the open, if we belittle good deeds, if we do not care about the affairs of the Muslims, if we argue a lot, if we are too much concerned about the worldly life and so on, we find if some of these or most of them are available in us, then we know that we have symptoms of weakness of iman in us, and therefore we need to act immediately to increase and improve our